The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In our Bible study on Philippians this past week, we discussed how the crucified and risen Christ puts our statuses into perspective. In our second lesson from 1 John, we get that perspective. We get what it is that centers us as Christians. Right there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. We know Christ. We are alive in Christ. And since we know love by Jesus taking up the cross for us, then we are to lay down our lives for one another. For us to be able to do this, we have to be focused and centered on Jesus in our individual lives and collectively as the church. Now that next verse from 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, that challenges us, because the seduction of the world's goods, that quite frankly are the things that our statuses can cash in. We can accumulate those worldly goods, and we can get caught up in that. And if we're caught up into that, if we're caught up to our own status, we're not abiding in Christ. And when we're not abiding in Christ, we're not seeing our brother and sister who is in need. Being centered on Christ, that can transform our perspective. As I shared in our Bible study, I had a conversation recently with a pastor who had said that in one of their congregations, when the church council was meeting, she began incorporating a prayerful reflection of Scripture to start the meeting. Members were hesitant at first. They didn't think they had time to do this, given all the business that needed to be done. The pastor told them to give it a chance. And they were amazed as time went on. They were getting out 30 minutes earlier. How can this be, some asked. We're starting 30 minutes later and ending 30 minutes sooner. And the pastor pointed out, that's what happens. It's what happens when we're centered on Christ. It puts things into perspective. And when things are put into perspective, we can be more productive and efficient. When we're consumed by the world's goods and what the world has to offer, we're then naturally also going to rank things. What's more important? What's more invaluable that I need to hold on to? What's less important? And that's going to fluctuate from time to time. So it's a natural concern when hearing the gospel or even hearing the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. It's like, well, how can I really put the Lord first? When we put the Lord first, we're not thinking in the way that the world operates. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay it down. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. If we're centered in Christ, if we're centered in this sacrificial love that Christ offers us, that he laid down for us, it's not about ranking. It's not even about abandoning those relationships. It's about bringing that sacrificial love into those relationships that we have. It's bringing that sacrificial love into all those activities that we're engaged in. That's what we're called to do. That's what happens when we're centered on Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, we hear, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." Jesus is the Word made flesh. And that word spoke volumes through the action of laying down his life on the cross for all of us. As children of God, our witness cannot just be words. But this truth, this love that we have in Christ, others must see it in our actions. I could argue that 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 is a grounding for Christian ethics and morality. So the criticism that I've had with the church at times is that it's quite frankly has embodied a morality that reflects a culture in which either intentionally or inadvertently creates walls where people could not get in, or doors, not so much for people to enter, but to throw or push people out. 1 John chapter 3 doesn't call us to police such things, does not call us to be gatekeepers, but to minister to the needs of others following the sacrificial love that we've received in Jesus Christ. We share the love of Jesus in word and action. We do not focus on condemnation, but we seek to share the redemption we have received through Jesus Christ and that he offers the whole world. When someone is unwell, we don't just stand on the sidelines, but we seek their restoration in Christ. We want them to be made whole. So this mindset changes how we look at our ministry. We make too much of who is officially in or quote-unquote not in our institutions. If we're sharing the love of Jesus and people are receiving the love of Jesus, that's what we're doing. That's how we're living into all this. How we're centered in Christ most profoundly as church is in worship. It's around word and sacrament. And we long for others to be with us, to give thanks to God and to abide in Christ through our worship, which is the source and summit of our Christian life. However, there might be people who are receiving the love of Jesus from our ministry from a distance. It's flowing from this center that we're all centered in right now. But they're facing the center. They're facing Jesus. That's good. That's good news. We're saying you belong. We're drawing them to Christ. In sharing the sacrificial love of Jesus in word and action, we're giving witness to the reality that they are beloved and they belong. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord who is your good shepherd. Hear his voice through this ministry. We have people who receive the love of Christ through the Cardington Community Food Pantry. They belong if they're facing Jesus, if they hear his voice. We have people who receive the love of Christ through our Wednesday community meal. They belong. We have people who receive the love of Christ through our backpack ministry. They belong. I could rattle off many other instances and examples in our ministry here alone. It's not saying that we're content with people maybe from a distance, but it's about sharing and centering people in the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. We want those gathered here and those we serve in the community to be facing the right direction, to be facing and moving towards Jesus Christ. Always welcoming people. Always inviting them to partake in anything that we have to offer. I was sincere this past Wednesday when giving a meal to someone who's become a regular, who's very grateful and enjoys this connection that she has with this ministry. Not just the meal, but the connection, the conversation. I said, whenever we have something, you're welcome to partake in it, right? You belong here. We could be serving lobster, and you can have it. You can come and feast with us. Being centered in Christ is not just for the benefit of the other, but it's for ourselves as well. If we are seduced by our status and the the world's goods, if that's our center, then we will fall prey to a broken world that will scatter and devour us. That's why I'm saying facing Jesus, hearing his voice is important. Because there are individuals that are close to the center. They could be gathered for worship, but they might not be facing Jesus. They may be looking out to the world. And then those who are further away, physically distant, are moving closer towards Jesus. So we want everybody moving closer towards Christ. Word and sacrament is not given to us as a dividing wall to keep some in and others out. It's to keep all of us from scattering. It's a means of grace that keeps us centered, that keeps us anchored, that we can continue to abide in Christ, in which we become a fearless flock of our Lord, trusting in his life-giving sacrifice, trusting in the new life that we have in him. 1 John chapter 3 makes our faith very succinct. Believe in Jesus and love one another. That sounds simple, but as I shared earlier, there are people that don't have time for Jesus when doing churchy things, right? If we don't have time for Jesus when we do churchy things, are we going to have time for Jesus on Monday morning, on idle Tuesdays, in the middle of the week, right? We must be centered in Christ, abiding in this loving sacrifice of our Lord, facing and always moving towards the love of Christ. Because when we abide in Christ, when we're facing our Lord and centered on his sacrificial love, we are made whole. This love transforms all of our relationships. This love transforms all of those activities we find ourselves engaged in. This love enables us to share this divine love with all people. And with this divine love being shared, we're saying to them, you matter. You belong. You are beloved. Come to Christ. Come and immerse yourself in the family of God. Join this fearless flock, trusting in the sacrificial love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, my sisters and brothers, may we continue to love like Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good cheer.